From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT. TNT.
And it's a Monday or a Tuesday, or it could be a Tuesday. I'm just checking. We have so much fun here. Another uneventful day here at the ranch. We sit back, normally have a scones and cup of tea, morning tea time. It's a very chilled out atmosphere here. No, it's not. What about in the UK? Now, UK utilities pay people to turn off the lights. They're going to pay you to turn off the lights. More than a million UK homes and businesses are set to be paid to use less energy between 5 and 6 p.m. local time on Monday as part of a National Grid's demand flexibility service aimed at preventing blackouts during periods of high usage. So they're going to pay you not to use electricity, okay, or less energy. Isn't that when they have the blackouts? So it's still sort of like a blackout, except they're paying you to have a blackout. That's about it, I think. Also, if you're thinking about visiting Australia and you're thinking about flying Qantas, the Australian airline, a Qantas flight to Sydney has returned to Fiji as a precaution after pilots received a report of fumes in the cabin. That's always worrying, isn't it? Now, where is that exhaust? Oh, that's right, it's in the economy section. That's days after a service from Auckland issued a mayday following an engine shutdown. Forget the exhaust, where's the engine? Oh, there it is, plummeting to earth. But Qantas has now had its sixth incident in just over a week after another plane was forced to turn back. Flight QF887 from Adelaide to Perth was reportedly 45 minutes into its journey when it was forced to turn around following issues surrounding paperwork. Where are we going? I don't know. Where's our map? That's not the paperwork, surely. Anyway, a bit like Jetstar. We hope you enjoy your flight to Bali. Enjoy the next 16 hours, because that's what it will be. You have to fly back. We can't land because we forgot our paperwork. I mean, what's wrong with Qantas? I mean, Qantas, the Australian airline, is no more. Now, Alan Joyce, he's leading the troops well. And if you're a Qantas employee, maybe you can just send us a chat or an email. How happy are you working under Alan Joyce, who continues to get enormous chunks of money every year because he's doing such a wonderful, wonderful job? Now, if I ran a business like that, some say maybe I do, but if I ran a business like that and all my planes are turning around because they weren't looked after well enough or they forgot the paperwork, you know, first of all, the buck stops at the top, doesn't it? So why is Alan Joyce still there? Anyway, if you're a Qantas employee, pilot, Graham Hood, you're exempted from that. But if you're a Qantas employee, he doesn't work for him, drop us a line here at TNT Radio. Also, weird things happening in the US with Joe Biden. A batch of classified documents has been found on a Walmart clearance shelf. And with more on that, we have James O'Neill.
Thanks, Mike. Joe Biden is once again embroiled in scandal after yet another box of his classified documents was found on the clearance shelf of a local Walmart. The top secret documents were seen next to a $1 clearance bin filled with DVDs of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's documentary on the Green New Deal. We spoke to FBI spokesman Herf Derfler while agents hauled off boxes of classified documents from the location. The investigation into President Biden's misplacement of classified documents has reached a tipping point in which our agency is unable to cover for him by blaming Trump. We're poring over security footage. While we cannot divulge much, we are seeing video evidence that Hunter Biden frequented in this location to make random purchases of pseudoephedrine, ether, paint thinner, ammonia, drain cleaner, and batteries. Totally random buys. At publishing time, President Biden had made a visit to the local Walmart to assure citizens that the investigation of classified documents was over, then donned a Walmart vest and began greeting customers entering the store.
Hey, little girl. Welcome to Wall House. I'll bet I can guess what shampoo you use.
Back to you, Mike.
Oh, thank you very much. It smells just like my neighbor. Okay, now, if you want to make a call to us later, have a bit of a chin wag on the air, call us, have a natter. There's some great Aussie vernacular for you. Chin wag, natter. I mean, I think, is chin wag US or is it just Australian? We'll say it's Australian. We take ownership of that word or that term, chin wag. Anyway, if you want to call Nicola Charles or Jeremy Beck, or Nicola Charles or Rick Martin, you can in a couple of hours' time. If you want the numbers, I could give those out to you. Best go to our website. A smack bang in the middle of the whole site are the numbers to call from various countries. And that's it, by the way, at tntradio.live.
News reported fairly.
They are a reliable source.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The cost of living has gotten worse since we got a new government. Really? Hang on, from that ad. Really? And more than 2 million Aussies are being blindsided by bills, according to new research. In fact, food inflation is up by 9.2% at Coles and Woolies. Sonia, tell us more about this.
Thanks, Mike. Well, what I do find interesting about some of the reporting that's come out over the last few weeks is, of course, they use Coles, Woolworths and Aldi as their benchmark for some sort of indication that the end user is somehow paying more at the register than they were previously. But of course, mainstream media and government reporting doesn't want to take into consideration the fact that people can actually grow their own food, buy direct from farmers and save money in other ways. So I find it quite interesting that while there seems to be this reporting that these costs are going up, they are definitely directed in a sort of mainstream supermarket sense. Now, we do know the Labor government, they essentially won their election last year on a problem of cost of living. That was their big catch cry, apart from, of course, the climate crisis. But what have we actually seen them do in the last 6 to 9 months? Have they actually done anything about the problems that they were claiming during their election cycle?
You know, they promised, they said, I promise, cross my heart and hope to die, that the cost of living will at least be minimal, the rise, or it will even drop. They told us a big lie, didn't they? They fibbed to us.
Absolutely.
Do they deserve a big smack?
I think the issue is that we have people who, in the lead up to the election, were complaining about the sitting government, which at the time was a Liberal government. They were complaining about the cost of living then, and they were complaining about wages not increasing at the same rate as inflation. And yet they've essentially voted in the other wing of the same bird and somehow have expected there to be some sort of a different outcome. I'm not at all surprised, being that there is a major government sitting, that this is where it has ended up. And certainly a lot of people within the minor parties and independent movements have been warning Australians for the last couple of years that we were headed to a critical tipping point. You know, if I'm being honest, the World Economic Forum wants to break each individual country's economy because then they can offer a worldwide global solution. But what we're seeing now is, you know, in the UK, we're seeing people freeze to death because they can't afford to heat their homes. In Australia, people are selling their cars and homes so they can afford to buy food and school supplies. When will our government actually take any remedial action? I don't think they will.
Yeah, actually, you could be wrong there. Bill Gates is here, obviously, to talk about the grocery bill, and is here. I mean, it gives you a lot of confidence in the Australian government, doesn't it? Because they are, I won't say they're floundering. What you say about the WEF is quite right. Looking at it domestically, though, the cost of living here is just, it is just skyrocketed. I can't believe how much beer has got. It's so expensive.
And definitely prices have risen across the board on necessities and non-necessities. And we've seen month after month there's been a shortage of one thing or another. And, of course, last year every single month there was this big outcry about supply chain issues and the cost of fuel to deliver things to stores. And, you know, we have seen, I would say, definitely more than a 10% increase on the grocery bill over the last 12 months. I mean, the real question is there actually any hope for the future if we have a major party in government who clearly is more than happy to take direction from Bill Gates and the likes of the World Economic Forum? Where does this then head?
Yeah, I think take away the WEF stuff and the Bill Gates and all those sort of terrible people. I think it also gets down to incredibly bad management. I mean, and go right back to COVID, the management from the Conservatives was what set the everything in motion. And Albanese, not much different than Morrison was, and his government is just ploughing forward with those same sort of inverted commas reforms that Morrison had. Even the with ACMA, with the Australian Communications and Media Authority, which we should talk about some other time, with their new rules and regulations to stamp out the disinformation. And what it will mean is by middle of the year, probably August, they'll have everything in place. You watch anybody like us or anybody with an opinion that Google, TikTok, Meta, and a few others don't like, because they're the ones who are going to administer it. You will be gone, long gone and forgotten, but you will face fines and possibly jail maybe if you continue to flaunt their anti-disinformation policy. So Albanese is really no different than the previous government, except I would probably say he's more on steroids.
Most definitely. And I think that that is simply because the authority has gone straight to his head, and he certainly feels that he's untouchable and headed in the right direction, which I wouldn't say most Australians agree with.
Maybe he needs more Botox. He's actually got that furrow between the eyebrows. Have you noticed? He looks really serious and he's got this really grim look. But he ain't fooling that many people. And I think, like most Labor governments, they hang around usually for one or two elections, but the second election, always a very tight one. And if they do get in, it's a miserable time for all. I think the miserable time for all will be expedited and will happen much sooner than later. Sonia, thank you very much for your time. This is TNT Radio.
For Voye Morich on TNT Radio.
From my hometown, Chicago, I was just reading that Mayor Lori Lightfoot, her campaign was caught sending emails to Chicago public schools and Chicago public school teachers asking them to offer extra credit to students who volunteered to get Lori Lightfoot reelected. And then you've got like these progressive liberals shouting at conservatives or whatnot, anyone who's not left liberal, for being biased, for not being neutral or objective. And look what they're doing. And she says it was simply a mistake. They don't even own up to it. They're like, yeah, you know, we were out of line. What we did was wrong. No, it was a mistake. Yeah, unbelievable.
For Voye Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
Hello. Hiya. So, what are we going to do with your hair today?
Oh, well, just a trim, thanks. You know, maybe an inch or two off, nothing fancy.
Okay, great. Now hold still!
Whatever you're doing, it's important to use the right tools for the job. So if you want to quit smoking, pick up a new and improved Quit Kit free from a local pharmacy. To find your nearest, text FREE and your postcode to 88088 or visit smokefree.nhs.uk. England only, £2 sold while stocks last. Standard network charges apply.
Dismiss the talk of an amnesty. We've seen the biggest kill ever in medicine's history. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Do this right. Do the ruling class realize how silly they sound? Now, despite what we have witnessed under the Biden administration, Attorney General Merrick Garland is reported to have said, "We do not have different rules for Democrats or Republicans. Different rules for powerful and powerless. Different rules for the rich and the poor." Well, during our next conversation with our next guest, I have what we've done is we've merged Merrick Garland saying exactly that with a piece with Robert De Niro in, what was his name? Anyway, from Meet the Family. And so we've combined them both just to show you that Merrick Garland is telling a lie. And maybe the DOJ can investigate him. Now, our guest knows, our next guest knows, about acting in comedy. After receiving a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in acting and directing and pursuing an acting career in New York and Points West, performing lead roles in comedies, dramas and musicals, Bruce DeTauris decided to write a book about energy, consciousness and the nature of reality. 9/11 happened along the way, and years after of much, much research, he incorporated it and similar things in God, School, 9/11 and JFK, the lies that are killing us and the truth that sets us free. Bruce is Tryon Day Publishing's marketing director and a host at TNT Radio. Bruce, great to catch up with you again.
Likewise, Mike. How are you tonight?
I'm very well. It's the afternoon here, and we're a day in front, so don't you get smart.
Uh-oh. Right?
Now, Merrick Garland, he's an interesting character. I mean, if you were in a boat with Merrick Garland and you had a choice of being in the boat or swimming in a shark-infested ocean, which would you pick?
Oh, my Lord.
I know.
I'd probably take my chance. Right.
With the sharks?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, Merrick Garland, we've combined a clip with Merrick Garland, the grab we have here of him with that, remember that film, Meet the Family with Robert De Niro? Mm. And the family was the Fockers, that's right. Mm. And anyway, this is what I've put together just to show you that this guy is a weasel.
It's an antique polygraph machine. Well, why should you be afraid? You have nothing to hide. Try it on. Okay. I'll help you. Don't worry. You'll enjoy this. Right. Looks complicated.
Now, these aren't 100% accurate, right? They're...
Well, you'd be surprised how accurate they are. They can tell fairly easily if someone's lying or not.
We do not have different rules for Democrats or Republicans. Different rules for the powerful or the powerless. Different rules for the rich or for the poor. We apply the facts and the law in each case in a neutral, nonpartisan manner. That is what we always do, and that is what we do in the matters that you're referring to.
Relax, relax. The needles are jumping.
So there you are. Pretty well straight to the point and true, isn't it?
Yes, and Lee Harvey Oswald alone shot Kennedy, and there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Yep.
Yeah.
So tell me this. Do you think the maybe DeSantis or Trump, if they get in 2 years' time, do you think that perhaps Merrick might disappear, just vanish?
Yeah, he might, as with that kind of changing of the guard. But it's a revolving door to some maybe high-powered position, right? You know, these guys, they can just keep coming back in different forms and through their buddies at the Bohemian Grove or wherever. You know, I'm just assuming that about dear Mr. Garland, but they or they go under a rock. Like, where's Andrew Cuomo, you know, the former governor of New York, after overseeing the horrors inflicted on old people in nursing homes during the first couple of years of COVID? Mm. So it's just heinous, the lack of justice. Wherever he goes, it's probably not going to be jail if he's committed crimes. That's for everyone to debate.
Now, we have one of the first crabs. I mean, we're so lucky. I mean, this is the new chief of staff. I think his name is Jeff Zients. He was the guy that was the winter of severe illness and death guy. This is, just to remind you, this is the guy that's going to be the new chief of staff. Whoopee, fancy working for him.
The unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm.
So, Woody, could you imagine going to a party at his place? You'd have to wear a pillow over your head.
When did he say that?
That was at the start. Remember, no, it was 2021. Remember, under Biden, and he said, you're all going to fall off the perch unless you get the jibby jab. Guess what? Maybe it's the other way around at the end of the day.
Maybe. And by the way, the aspersion I just cast on Garrick, I don't know that he's accused of anything. I was talking a little too quickly there. Has he been accused, the Attorney General, of anything criminal?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe just immoral.
It just goes to show how swayed I am about people in positions like that who defend the corruption and I'm going to call it tyranny, that I just automatically threw him under the bus. Sorry, sir, if you're completely crime-free, you know.
Which, I mean, and we can't really say that much. We know that Joe Biden's a crook. We know that the Biden family, I mean, they're finding all, we just ran a story before from James O'Neill. They found more papers in a Kmart, a dollar, dollar per box sale sort of thing.
Right. Right, and if there were if there was an honest judicial system at that for those people, those level of people in America, there's plenty that an honest judge would be shown that says, "Oh, please, we have to open an investigation into Joe Biden's activities immediately." But where's that? Where's that? Why isn't that happening? Well, ain't that the rub?
Look, Ron DeSantis, who I like immensely. I think he's an excellent governor, great politician, and seems to be a good egg. I'll play you this, and give me your thoughts.
This course on Black history, what's one of the lessons about? Queer theory. Now, who would say that an important part of Black history is queer theory? That is somebody pushing an agenda on our kids. And so when you look to see they have stuff about intersectionality, abolishing prisons, that's a political agenda. And so that's the wrong side of the line for Florida standards. We believe in teaching kids facts and how to think, but we don't believe they should have an agenda imposed on them. When you try to use Black history to shoehorn in queer theory, you are clearly trying to use that for political purposes.
So if you were to have a course in how to become a governor, he would probably be the main reference material, wouldn't he?
Yes, but we don't know how set up we are being with him standing for the position in the political spectrum that Trump claimed in 2015, 2016, and throughout his presidency, speaking so much truth that independent researchers who had used the internet for years, like me, were blown away by the amount of truth that Trump spoke. And the positions that DeSantis is taking, it's easy for me to imagine as bona fide and valuable as are his positions, is it simply to galvanize and satisfy as someone on that side of the political spectrum who could be the nominee perhaps in a couple of years? In other words, would he not fulfill the incredible promise of his rhetoric the way, in my opinion, Trump did not, by not protecting us, for example, one example, from COVID and the jabs? Meaning they're, what are they called? Straw men. Just given enough truth, he's positioned and he's being touted for all these true things he's saying. But when the rubber hits the road, is he facilitating the continuity of the agenda.
And that's
we won't know.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, the machinations of what happens behind the scenes is just enormous, and it's a bit like the Chinese. They play the long game. You just wonder when, which you wonder how close to the end of that game you are, because if it's a long game, it could go for a year, 2 years, 3 years. I'll play you this, and I'll tell you, actually what we'll do is go to a news break. I'll play you something that you have a great passion for, and I'll just ask you the question when I play, or come straight out of the break. I'll play, and, and was just, I'll ask you the question now, if you can answer. Is the same thing that happened to Richard Nixon, is the same thing that happened to him happening at the moment to Joe Biden? We'll find out shortly. This is TNT Radio.
Question.
Huh? What are you guys doing today?
The news.
Now, TNT Radio News.
Sounds good.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Ukraine's security service has launched a corruption investigation into its own Ministry of Defence. The Catholic Church has been rocked by allegations of a pandemic sex party at a cathedral in the UK. The US military is investigating a cancer cluster at a nuclear missile base. And the European Union has approved yet another weapons package for Ukraine, this time worth over $500 million.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Nixon got 17 million more votes than his opponent. Less than 2 years later, he was gone. He was forced to resign. And in his place, an obedient servant of the federal agencies called Gerald Ford took over the White House. How did that happen? Well, it's a long story, but here are the highlights, and they tell you a lot. Richard Nixon believed that elements in the federal bureaucracy were working to undermine the American system of government and had been doing that for a long time. He often said that. He was absolutely right. On June 23, 1972, Nixon met with the then CIA director Richard Helms at the White House. During the conversation, which thankfully was tape recorded, Nixon suggested he knew, quote, who shot John, meaning President John F. Kennedy. Nixon further implied that the CIA was directly involved in Kennedy's assassination, which we now know it was. Helms' telling response? Total silence. But for Nixon, it didn't matter because it was already over. 4 days before, on June 19th, the Washington Post had published the first of many stories about a break-in at the Watergate office building. Unbeknownst to Nixon and unreported by the Washington Post, four of the five burglars worked for the CIA. The first of many dishonest Watergate stories was written by a 29-year-old Metro reporter called Bob Woodward. Who exactly was Bob Woodward? Well, he wasn't a journalist. Bob Woodward had no background whatsoever in the news business. Instead, Bob Woodward came directly from the classified areas of the federal government. Shortly before Watergate, Woodward was a naval officer at the Pentagon. He had a top secret clearance. He worked regularly with the intel agencies. At times, Woodward was even detailed to the Nixon White House, where he interacted with Richard Nixon's top aides. Soon after leaving the Navy, for reasons that have never been clear, Woodward was hired by the most powerful news outlet in Washington and assigned the biggest story in the country. And just to make it crystal clear what was actually happening, Woodward's main source for his Watergate series was the deputy director of the FBI, Mark Felt. And Mark Felt ran, and we're not making this up, the FBI's COINTELPRO program, which was designed to secretly discredit political actors the federal agencies wanted to destroy, people like Richard Nixon. And at the same time, those same agencies were also working to take down Nixon's elected vice president, Spiro Agnew. In the fall of 1973, Agnew was indicted for tax evasion and forced to resign. His replacement was a colorless congressman from Grand Rapids called Gerald Ford. What was Ford's qualification for the job? Well, he had served on the Warren Commission, which absolved the CIA of responsibility for President Kennedy's murder. Nixon was strong-armed into accepting Gerald Ford by Democrats in Congress. Quote, we gave Nixon no choice but Ford. Speaker of the House Carl Albert later boasted. 8 months later, Gerald Ford of the Warren Commission was the president of the United States.
So I've got to ask you, is this happening now to Joe Biden?
It might be. It's too soon to tell. There are factions competing round the clock with each other. And when anything actually breaks or moves a story forward, it might be because critical mass at that moment, which is instantly countered by the critical mass of all the factions shifting. But that was a great example of the long-term chess game of moving Vice President Agnew out, getting Ford in there. And he wasn't just a former Warren commissioner who would cover for the CIA, presumably as president. He was also very close to J. Edgar Hoover, who died in 72, and could easily, they had a lot of goods, supposedly, apparently, on Ford due to his sexual awfulness, according to someone like Kathy O'Brien, who very credibly claims and has reported her horrendous history as a victim of the MK Ultra abuse and becoming actually a sex slave for these ghouls behind the scenes through the MK Ultra mind control program. So Ford was a very, very, apparently very controlled persona and figure there. So is it happening to Biden now? And it might be just part of creating another scandal to distract us for months and months and months and months so that America does not discuss the real problems that we need to address economically, health, medically, pharmaceutically, globally, confrontationally, in terms of war. So it's a great story to watch. We can't watch them all, but if anyone wants to focus on one story, sure, pay attention to this squeeze, apparently, on Biden, if it's a squeeze.
It says a lot about your intelligence orgs, CIA, FBI, or the other ones that we don't know about. How long were the papers in Joe Biden's garage for?
Oh, I saw something. I forget what I saw.
Since he was VP, I think. And so, therefore, okay, if they've been there that long, I mean, what chance do they have of stopping your enemies if they can't find or don't know of these papers? Surely there's some sort of accounting practice in the White House, especially with the VP, that if there's 400 pages that are there, 400 pages should be still there and not 350 or whatever. Or if he decides to Xerox the whole stuff, there are copies and it's done with someone standing near him because he has secret and top secret, in fact, information. I'm just wondering.
Did he break laws by having them in those locations?
Of course he did. Hasn't got the right to do that. The VP hasn't. Okay. The president can declassify documents, not at his will, but where he finds it necessary. The VP.
Right, with a kind of like a public process. Yeah. It's got to be formal. It's got to be. Right.
The VP is
not just throw them in the car and take them someplace.
I think the VP is the butler of the relationship. I mean, you get Laurel and Hardy. One's Laurel, the other's Hardy. And I think
it might be different with each team. Like you look at what a Dick Cheney as a vice president was during the Bush administration. But it's a good point. The vice president tip can often be the butler to the main guy.
Well, look at Kamala. Would you let her be VP? Would you let her be the VP? Of course not.
It's such an endurance test to remember that she's vice president. It's the elephant in the room of what a failure we are as in terms of rising capable people up who will really work for us.
And then look at Joe under Barack. I mean, the same thing. I mean, it was Barack Obama, and then you have the butler under the guise of a VP. I mean, that's what I think anyway, except this guy was doing all sorts of deals to help the Biden family.
For decades, he became senator won the, if I think his first election in 74. Joe Biden, I think, was sworn in as a senator in 1975. I mean, there are people born after that who've got grandkids, I think. Mm.
Speaking,
and so he's well connected. He's, you know, he's, if anyone could be, and you do see his fingerprints on a lot of horrible things that have nothing to do with the ideals of the founding or protecting just our simple civil liberties.
I mean, this is his propensity to sniff hair. I mean, just think that you have great quotes in history, and the audio grab from Joe Biden would be this.
Yeah, his epitaph. He sniffed a good head. Yeah.
It's a terrible thought.
If they're in the house, he'll find them.
That's right. Come here. Shower for two. Now, but it's true. And we're not making things up. This is documented stuff. I mean, it's more like almost like the young and the resentful, the restless, or stuff like that.
Now, well, this, you know, the sniffing and the creepiness. It's so weirdly interesting or disturbing that it's tough to remember. Wait a second, folks. Let's find the evidence of criminality and focus all of our attention holding our representatives accountable to that. Not rumor, not innuendo, and not the creepiness. Now, where there's smoke, there's fire. Mm. And just the average red-blooded man or woman, mother and father who across a shopping mall sees an old man do that, sniff the head of a young child, even his own family, would not let their kids within 50 yards of that. Mm. And here, because of his position of power, incredible stories of abuse, women have come forward, at least one I saw, who said, he pushed me up against the wall and did unspeakable things to me.
Yep.
And then harassed me out of my job. She was on his staff. So it's endemic. And then you read a book like One Nation Under Blackmail by Whitney Webb, and you see the sexual blackmail that for generally, it seems, everyone's got on everyone at that level of power. It's a creepathon. It's a massive creepathon.
Mm.
When to many extents and purposes.
When I moved to the U.S., it was under I was there with Ronald Reagan. In fact, my first station was near the Vandenberg Air Force Base, and Ronald wasn't far away on his ranch when he was having a couple of days off. And Michael Jackson wasn't far away either. There's another story. But there's a quote from Ronald Reagan from 1987. It says, "Keep voting Democrat. One day they will restrict your freedoms, restrict your history, and restrict your safety. All in the name of professional victims that don't understand the consequences of their ignorance." I think Ronald Reagan was one of your great presidents.
Well, he was a decent actor, and he had a command of the rhetoric that came from his heart, that spoke to the heart of the best of our idealism.
Were you the other way then? Were you on the other side then?
Then?
You still are. Oh, my God. We have to educate you.
No, I leaned Republican. You're back
good.
Then.
Yeah, it's good to hear.
I am, right. Now I consider the political parties competing frat houses sponsored by the same money above them.
Mm.
It's clown theater. It's bad gladiators. It's a blood sport to them. They want those powers. They want those pensions. They want those perks, and they want the power to abuse. They will kill for their positions, but above them, it's the same money. That's why there's a continuity of agenda. While the raging debates and arguments, which is the surface show in the mainstream conversation, below the money and the ownership and the impoverishment are rolling forward, and so is the tyranny and the loss of our rights.
Mm. Yeah, I liked Reagan. I mean, I was very naive too. I was into that devil worship music called rock.
How dare you!
I know, but it was great. I had long I had a thing called a mullet in those days, and a mullet is, I think, very typically Australian. It's like a normal haircut just above the ears, and then it stops and just drops down to this mullet, this long.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was an experience. I didn't have it for that long there because I was looked at suspiciously.
And it was very popular. Yeah.
Was it popular? I don't think it was that popular for Americans, but for Australians,
it was popular as a punchline. It was how to, you know, make fun of someone or accuse someone of being either a redneck or whatever. I know the look. I know the look. I didn't sport it. Mm. I hate to, you know, poke fun at Reagan, but I do. I've just read so much about. Well, especially after his assassination attempt, and he basically, the case is well made that he spoke good stuff about what he did, but he didn't accomplish what his supporters claim he did. He ballooned the debt. He didn't really help America economically. This is my memory of what I've studied, Mike. Mm. And the relationships around him that propelled him into power. He was a smart enough actor to well serve who paid him to show up and perform. Mm. And he could compose and speak extemporaneously, like I said before, from the heart to the best of our ideals.
I liked his humor. I used to, one of the stations I worked at, I used to have little naughty bits on, very clean though. And one of them was someone sounding very much like Ronald Reagan. Mm. And it would usually play at the start of a show. It would be him going, testing, testing, nuclear testing. And, yeah, I used to laugh. But nowadays I look at Joe Biden. Yeah. I'm thinking, not so good.
Not so good, not so witty. But that's a real clip of a Reagan mic test before an appearance in the Oval Office. I'd like to announce.
I saw that
one. You know, we've declared the Soviet Union illegal, and bombing starts in 5 minutes.
I've got that clip here somewhere, but I won't be able to find it. Just before we go to our next break, there's one. It's been going for years. Saturday Night Live, and I never find them funny. I mean, the funniest part of Saturday Night Live is probably what's happening to Baldwin at the moment, because he is used to dislike him immensely. But anyway, Saturday Night Live turns on Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton. And I never thought I would ever hear this. I'll play this and get your thoughts.
Earlier today, the FBI searched President Biden's Delaware home and found 6 additional Obama-era classified documents. Worse, one of them was Obama's real birth certificate. It was hidden in a copy of Blacktail magazine.
The Biden classified document scandal and the Trump classified document scandal are very different, but they do share one big thing in common. They both make Hillary Clinton want to blow her goddamn brains out. It would have been so funny if they searched Biden's garage and he had Hillary's server.
But I thought that part was very funny. Are you a fan of SNL?
Not for a few years now. They've had many waves, momentum of streaks of greatness, but the last times I checked in the last few years, it's just too woke for me. It's just too agenda. No.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I have no idea who's on it right now. I haven't watched it in a million years.
But that was a fairly funny skit, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was. Mm. I have an arm's length distance with the mainstream, you know, stuff, and I'm finding it to serve you best on these Monday nights. I've got to make more time to bone up and, you know, be more up to speed with everything, Mike. That's just a true confession, you know, of contemporary stuff.
You'll be handcuffed in front of the TV, and you'll be made to watch it.
A la Clockwork Orange. Okay, fine.
Maybe nothing like Clockwork Orange, but that's another story which we'll talk about off air. My guest is Bruce DeTauris. This is TNT Radio.
Give me a minute.
with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I'm not a Netflix subscriber, but a story on newsbusters.org alerted me to the fact that someone named Andrew Santino has a comedy special on the platform where he says this: I was shocked Trump lasted for 4 years. 4 years was wild to me, and nobody, you know, nobody. And then he made a gun-like gesture and sounded like a gun firing. Then he said, not once? I'm not advocating for killing a president, but we used to try. Film critic and Newsbusters contributor Kristen Toto defended Santino by writing that this is in the realm of comedy and deserves a vigorous defense. He went on to claim that it was much different than what actor Johnny Depp said about Trump in 2017 at the Glastonbury Festival. He said, you could bring Trump here. And then he asked, when was the last time an actor assassinated a president? Depp quickly added, I'm not an actor. I lie for a living. However, it's been a while, and maybe it's time. He later apologized and claimed he was just kidding around. Personally, I see no difference in what Andrew Santino and Johnny Depp said. The assassination of a president, past or present, is never a joke. Shame on them both, and Toto too. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
It's not just a music box. It's a ballerina's castle. It's a place to keep special things. It's noticing the letter. It's hearing it's for her mom. It's the moment you realize a 10-year-old girl has come to terms with her terminal illness. It's telling her how brave she is. It's agreeing to pass the letter on after she's gone. It's not just a music box. It's one of the most important tools we use. Social work with children and families is changing. Join us. Call 0300 123 1220 or search Be the Difference.
Hear about it.
I don't even know where to start with AOC.
Talk about it.
The stupidity of this administration.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And my guest is a terrorizer. Is there such a word as a terrorizer of Staten Island? I'm sure. Just lock,
sure.
You lock all those late night restaurants up because he'll never leave.
That's right.
We know things. I want to play this from Fox News talking about the beautiful people, as Tucker calls them, the lizard overlords. This is the script, how the plot is now playing out with COVID, Davos, of course, and with climate emergency. And I'll just play you this and get your thoughts.
Calls it the chaos theories, right? And recently, there's a lot of it happening here in the U.S. We really loved what he had to say yesterday, and we're going to expand on it.
Because it helps explain some of the motivation between stuff that seems haphazard and chaotic, but in the end actually serves a unified purpose. Let's talk about it. Let's go off the wall with some current examples. Let's first start with global warming and climate change. The ultimate tool, and this was revealed to me certainly during the pandemic, but the ultimate motivating tool, I think, for most of humanity is fear. Fear. Absolve me of my fear. Yep. And then, therefore, someone seeking power realizes if somebody is fearful, they'll hand over control.
Absolutely. Rahm Emanuel famously said, never let a crisis go to waste. So if you want to push climate schemes and more control, you have to peddle the idea that it is utter chaos throughout the world. And what a great example this week at the World Economic Forum, where all the elites gathered in their private jets in Davos, where Al Gore and John Kerry peddled that kind of fear. Watch.
Emissions are still going up. All these promises of the last few years to cut emissions are still going up. That's what's boiling the oceans, creating these atmospheric rivers and the rain bombs and causing these waves of climate refugees.
It's pretty extraordinary to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. I mean, it's so almost extraterrestrial.
So these two clips back to back, I think, are fascinating. First of all, Al Gore, literally the fire and brimstone of a preacher preaching apocalypse.
Yes.
And then abutted there to John Kerry, describing himself as an extraterrestrial in charge of saving the planet. Be fearful and I will save you. I just want to say this is how obvious it is as a tool and not true belief. These guys flew in G5s. They flew in G5s to Davos to talk about this. They own homes on the ocean.
Hundreds of millions of dollars he's worth.
If they're worried about boiling oceans, why are they buying beachfront property?
That's where Obama bought beachfront property, right there, if they're worried about rising oceans. But they tell you, eat less meat. They tell you have a lower carbon footprint. They tell you buy a different car, and they get rich in the process. And does your life get any better as China emits as much as it likes to? No, that's the answer. But it's chaos that benefits them. Let's talk about some more chaos that was front and center in our political sphere, mostly in 2020, but in Atlanta just last night.
Last night.
Antifa, Black Lives Matter, left-wing radical groups taking to violence on the streets in the hopes, and oftentimes that fear leads to extortion. It's if you don't do what we want, more of this will happen.
Okay, now I think this one is tied to what Bongino was talking about as well, when the fear is often personified by those who disagree with you. There's a reason that you should be fearful, and it's because of those people who believe differently than you. When it comes to Antifa and BLM, the enemy is made clear. It is the racist. It is the bad person, not the bad idea, the bad person on the other side of
it's
you that
the
must
cops.
Be controlled.
Yes, that must be controlled. And in the case of this, it was the police officers who needed to be reined in and defunded. I mean, think about how quickly we went from defund the police being this radical idea that seemed on the fringe to the point where major metropolitan city councils were pushing to defund police departments. And then you get more of this.
Chaos.
Chaos.
More chaos. How about this? If the ideological opponent is the bad person, if they're the science denier, if they're the racist, what about when they're actually infectious? Those who disagree with you are so bad, they can infect you.
And they don't even know it. They will kill you unless you, based on very limited information and science that we won't reveal to you, you must take the jab. So COVID's a great example. In fact, that's a lot of what Dan was talking about yesterday. Here's Joe Biden, Anthony Fauci, Rochelle Walensky on vaccines and masks as a reminder.
We're here with a simple message. Get vaccinated. And if you're fully vaccinated, get one more COVID shot.
People are vaccinated. They can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
I want to make sure people keep their masks on. I think the idea of taking masks off, in my mind, is really not something we should even be considering.
We do encourage all Americans to wear a well-fitting mask, and that recommendation is not going to change.
It was maximum fear, Will.
So, yeah, be fearful. The zombies, those who are racist, those who are infectious, those who deny science are somewhere outside the walls. So lock yourself in the ideological prison, and we as the wardens will help you control, will give you safety. It's the chaos that leads to power, which leads to control, which leads to their self-justification. It really is a tool that weaves its way through, I think, every news item.
All the while you are told that you're crazy or you're dangerous for not trusting the science that they won't reveal. And the misinformants in the midst of all of that who are canceled or kicked off of social media, later on confirmed to be correct, but already told that they're insane.
Yeah.
Or blocked and pushed out of the conversation to begin with. They want chaos so they can get control.
That's about spot on, isn't it?
That's a fire hose of summary there. That's even very fearful and upsetting to listen to. It's it feeds right into, you know, a thesis that individual powerlessness is the target to address, and why people are controlled and hypnotized and mesmerized by even that kind of messaging. Yeah, it's all dead on what they were saying, and yet our salvation is to also talk about, how does an individual do things to grab control of their mind and their emotions so that they can hear something like that objectively and do some things in their lives that build their sense of safety and power and ability to affect anything, even how they can be with their family without all the arguments that they might be having, how they can put down the phones and the distractions and bond more together as a family so they know they have each other's back and talk about each other's goals, because the hurdle is getting into action as a powerful person to create things in your own life that not only benefit yourself, but could impact the community conditions and the political conditions, and then the giant trends that these guys were talking about. And to recognize someone who's trying to scare you as a master manipulator. And those guys, that was a great clip of describing that very well.
Yeah, in a, I mean, I think information is king. But the information that is available now has been very well censored. In Australia, we're about to go, as with the UK, and they're about to re-crank up things too, but here they're going to, they have a thing called the Digi. It's at digi.com.au. Anyway, the government is about to enforce enormous censorship on those that they regard as dis or misinformation. And anybody online, on socials, Facebook and so forth, if they have basically an opposite to the narrative from the government, then you'll be shut down and you could face criminal action.
And the, is that signed off? Is that coming online?
That's coming into Australia. According to our communications minister, Michelle Rowland, it's about to all happen. It's to protect you. And just quickly, the ones who are administering this, Google, TikTok, Facebook, and all the other bad actors. Bruce, love your show, by the way, on weekends, our weekend here. Looking forward to the next one. If somebody wants to find out more about you besides going to our website, you got 15 seconds. How do they do that?
BruceTTorres.com.
We've got another 10 seconds. Hello.
Well, my Substack, BruceTTorres.substack.com.
Bruce, thank you very much. This is TNT Radio.